What's going on, everyone? Welcome to 613 Wrestling Podcast. My name is Mark, and I'm here by myself today. Kyle, unfortunately, was not able to make it. He had some other commitments he had to attend to, so hopefully Kyle's back soon, hopefully within our next episode or two. But tonight, you have me, Mark. I'm excited. The road to WrestleMania is here. We have so much to go over. We have so many unanswered questions so far in wrestling, in the WWE, and I want to talk about it tonight. I'm going to tell you, this is the first time ever I've done a solo podcast. Usually, you know, Kyle and I have become really good at bouncing everything back and forth amongst each other, playing off of each other. We agree on so many things, and we also disagree on so many things, which is kind of fun. So first off, I want to say thank you for putting up with me kind of learning about this solo podcasting thing on my own. You know, today I want to kind of go over just my thoughts on the road to WrestleMania, just a little bit of a recap on this past week's Raw and SmackDown after Fastlane, and of course, Fastlane itself that just happened this past Sunday, March 10th, 2009. But no, first off, you know, to kind of go into a couple of things, let's talk about the road to WrestleMania itself. It's, I don't know, and maybe I'm wrong, guys, but this time around, it feels a little different, you know. I don't want to say, because I don't work there, but the WWE, you know, I feel that in past WrestleManias were a little bit more defined, especially right after that Royal Rumble time. And I know the other week, Kyle and I were talking, and it's like, you know, there's so many unanswered questions. Where are we going with all these things? You know, WrestleMania right now has five matches, and I'll tell you, five decent matches in the books right now. But I also have a lot of questions that, what are we? We are, today is Thursday, March 14th. April 7th is WrestleMania, so that's what, give or take 3 weeks away, maybe? Maybe like 3.5 weeks away, almost. And we have so many unanswered questions. Now, I'll tell you, I'm a fan of the unknown. Wrestling can be very predictable, and it has been over the last decade, but not knowing where things are going is kind of part of the fun, so I'm kind of going along for the ride. But at the same time, I'm also very, very curious on where are we going with certain things. So when I say that, I mean things such as, you know, well, I guess, hold on. Let's go a quick little preview of what WrestleMania looks like right now. So far we have the Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar, defending his title against Seth Rollins. We have the Raw Women's Championship match with Ronda Rousey versus Becky versus Charlotte in a triple threat. Three matches that actually were coming, but were more so just defined and made official this past week, with Triple H versus Batista and a no-holds-barred match, Shane McMahon versus The Miz, and AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. Cool. All right, five matches. You know, I'll tell you, if this was an NXT event or an NXT-style card, five would be good. But we know it's WrestleMania, so we know it's going to be a lot more jam-packed. So I guess a couple of questions that I have is let's call it 3 weeks away, maybe a little bit more, but we're 3 weeks away, and we have so many unanswered championship questions, such as SmackDown Tag Team Chance the Usos, who are they going to face? You know, that's not defined yet. The Women's Tag Team Champions, the Boston Hug Connection, who are they going to face at WrestleMania? It's a brand new belt. You got to defend it at Mania. It's going to be the first time in a long time. I guess I know it's the third rendition of the female tag team championships, but I'm just trying to think if they were ever defended at a WrestleMania before. But anyways, but the newly crowned women's tag team division, who are they going to face? Of course, the Intercontinental Championship has not been defined yet. Now, based off of this past Monday on Raw, we know we have a new Intercontinental Champion and Bobby Lashley with the help of Lio Rush. So my thoughts are we're going to see Finn and Bobby go at it again at Mania. I think it would be a little weird if it wasn't that, but that's my take. So it's not official yet, but that's where I think it's going. Buddy Murphy, the Cruiserweight Champion, is going to be on the pre-show again. Who's he going to face? We don't know. Is The Undertaker going to be there? Maybe not. if not, it's the first time in a long time that Taker hasn't been at Mania. Is John Cena going to be there? I don't know. I got a couple thoughts on John Cena, which I'll talk about a little later when we recap a little bit of a Raw rundown. And of course, even though we know where it's going, but we don't have a defined WWE Championship match, where we kind of feel Kofi's going to get there. Is anyone else going to join him along the ride? But it's not defined yet. So, and of course, the U.S. Championship match, where Samoa Joe, the U.S. champion, where's it gonna, like, who's it gonna face? So we have several titles, and outside of titles, superstars that we don't know what's gonna happen yet. And usually in previous years, you know, we've seen that by that Royal Rumble time, you know, usually a good several weeks before Mania, we're a lot more defined on where we're going. But this year, a little bit of a different story. Oh, of course, one thing that I was thinking too, and it doesn't show it online, unless I missed it, which please guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, is it happening this year? You know, usually, you know, from previous years, those people who aren't going to be in one-on-one matches or in matches in general at Mania, usually you see them kind of saying like, oh, I just put my name in for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You know, I'm going to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. You know, but we're not hearing that, or at least I'm not hearing that. And you're not seeing it online, because usually in the WrestleMania card online, even though if we don't know participants, they usually place it there as a match that's going to happen. So not yet. So is it going to happen? And I'm interested to hear what you guys think. All right, let's see here. So, yeah, so outside of that, you know, the road to WrestleMania seems a little glim, but I feel that, you know, I think the next 3 weeks are going to be quite interesting. Very, very interesting, because I think even though matches aren't defined, I feel we have an idea where things are going. But I would usually like to know that WrestleMania is planned well ahead in advance and that we don't have to wait so long. You know, like this past Tuesday on SmackDown, you know, obviously we knew the Shane and Miz match was going to happen. And I appreciated how it wasn't this back and forth jibber jabber for the next couple of weeks. Shane McMahon just came right out and said, hey, we're fighting at WrestleMania. You know, which was very blunt, very, very forward. But at least I appreciate the fact that don't play with us like, is it going to happen? Are they going to face each other? You know, what's going to happen? Like, just call it right out. We know what's going to happen. Let's make it happen. So that's exciting. Well, is it exciting? Shane McMahon in another match? When's the last time Shane McMahon has won a WrestleMania match? Huh. I'm going to have to Google that afterwards. But no. But if anything, too, it's funny. When even before Kyle and I started the podcast, and when we started the podcast, we've been talking about The Miz. Where do we think The Miz is going to go? Obviously, a lot different than what we thought. We were kind of thinking that maybe The Miz would become the champion. We predicted that didn't happen. We predicted that maybe The Miz would face the, you know, win the Royal Rumble. Didn't happen. Or he would be in a world title picture at WrestleMania. Didn't happen. So I think The Miz, yeah, I'm a huge fan of The Miz. I think his stock is so high, especially as a heel. So what I would love to see after this is that The Miz goes on for bigger and better things at WrestleMania. Sorry, maybe next WrestleMania, not this WrestleMania, of course. All right, let's get into our fast lane. So obviously, last week, we talked about Fastlane. We went through the card. We talked about who we thought was going to win, but more so what our thoughts on the matches were, where were they going to go. But now, Fastlane's gone and passed us. Let's talk about it. So first match, actually one thing I want to point out as well, and I believe, I can't remember the pay-per-view, but a couple months ago we brought this up too, where a lot of pay-per-views these days seem to be quite SmackDown heavy. This pay-per-view, Fastlane, had 7 SmackDown matches and only 3 Raw matches. That's a little crazy. You know, you always hear about Raw being the A show and with the biggest superstars and, you know, and I know not everyone was on Fastlane, which is okay, which is good. Like AJ Styles, you know, AJ Styles was not on Fastlane and I'm okay with that. All of the stars don't need to be on every single match every single month. So, but no, that was quite interesting because it was quite a lopsided number. But no, to kick off, we had the pre-show match. We had The New Day versus Rusev and Nakamura. Obviously, the New Day members of Xavier Woods and Big E represented New Day. The New Day walked away as the victors. It was a good little match. You know, it's, I really don't have too much to say about it. You know, it's, it was a good match. It was fun. You know, it was high impact. You know, it was, whenever you have these four guys, especially two, these four guys are, not only do they look different, but they're so different. Their styles are very, very different. It's good to see that the New Day is continuing to do their thing and advancing in the tag team realms, while Kofi is also doing their thing. I know a couple weeks ago we talked about tag teams in itself, and seemingly when one person wants to branch off and do something different, that a team needs to break up. I think the New Day should be a team forever, and they should be doing exactly what they're doing now, which is being so supportive. One of the big thing about Kofi Kingston's success has been, a big thing has been the support he's received by his New Day brothers. You know, whether it's after the first gauntlet he went through, when Big E and Xavier talked passionately about the time he put in, how they look up to him. You know, like, it's like Kofi's their mentor and everything else, and like, they're brothers, they love each other, and they want nothing but great things for Kofi. And I think that's great. You know, it just seems in the past that, like, hey, we're a tag team, whether we're two to three people, hey, if one person wants to go do something else, they have to break up. I think it's ridiculous. So it's nice to see that the New Day all of a sudden isn't jealous of Kofi, or, you know, or just kind of like, hey, you know, you're turning your backs on our tag team goals and whatnot. So, but no, once again, I think this one was, it was a good match to start off the show, on the pre-show, but it really didn't do too much for me. Especially, I think the big thing for me is Rusev and Nakamura. We watched them go from, you know, Shinsuke, you know, being rude to Rusev's wife, Lana, to facing each other many, many times for the U.S. Championship, and then all of a sudden they're a tag team. That was a big thing for me in this match, is that I see those two as a team, and I just look at it and I go, I love Shinsuke. I love him. Followed him in New Japan for many, many years before coming to the WWE. Rusev, I love celebrating Rusev Day every day, but the teaming doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. So that one kind of made the match a little bit more of a damper for me. All right, up next, second match, another SmackDown match where we had, what do they call it? McMiz? I think they called it once. But The Miz and Shane McMahon taking on the Usos for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. The Usos walked away and retained, which I thought was the right choice, which was great. It was a fun match. I feel like if you put the TVs beside each other and you look at this match versus other matches they've had, it was quite similar. You know, I think it's tough where, you know, Shane plays that, like, I get beaten up a lot, I'm winded, you know, but he continues to come back. That's the hard thing about Shane is, you know, he doesn't belong in the ring, but then when he's in the ring, he does put everything out on the line, and so it's exciting to some extent. But obviously, if you watch Fastlane, you quickly realized after that the Usos won and retained, it didn't go so well for The Miz. Shane turned his back on The Miz, attacked The Miz, yelled at The Miz's father. The Miz's father was in the front row. Then afterwards, attacked The Miz, you know, kind of put him in like a little bit of a triangle armbar hold while, you know, The Miz was selling it really, really good, kind of getting red in his face. His eyes were wide open, and The Miz is just screaming like, this is your boy, you know. So it was a little bit of a crazy build, ending in a build to what is now going to be the Shane and Miz at WrestleMania. But I think we all saw that coming. Like, I don't know if anyone actually looked at this to think that they're going to be a tag team forever. I almost feel like when they first got together, and actually believe we talked about it, and I think it was Kyle that actually said, hey, like, this isn't a team, you know, like, this is just a way to get to WrestleMania. And I think we all knew that when they first started tagging together. But no, it's, I don't know. I think it's really hard when I think of Shane McMahon in matches, because has Shane ever won at WrestleMania? I don't think so. I don't know. But also, what does it do for The Miz? You know, I think The Miz wins in that match, but what does it do for him? Like, I don't think a win over Shane McMahon, skyrockets your career by any means, but I guess we'll see. You know, I think one good thing that we do know is The Miz and Shane, when they're on the grandest stage, they do put it all out on the line, and I think it's going to be one heck of a match, I hope. All right, next up here, we actually have the third match of the night, which is another SmackDown match, which was Mandy Rose challenging Asuka for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This one, you know, Asuka retains, of course. I didn't really ever see it any other way, but this one was left with a little bit of controversy. You know, Sonya Deville kind of continuously searching under the ring. She left the ring apron up. Mandy Rose got tripped on it, which I didn't think it was a really believable trip. Cost, then obviously Asuka capitalizes, gets the win. Looks like a little bit of an absolution breakup, I guess. I don't know. Like, even if they are, like, what are you going to have? Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville at WrestleMania? No. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't have enough invested in these two. Don't get me wrong, I'll tell you, Sonya Deville is a heck of a talent. And the Mandy Rose we had on Fastlane versus the Mandy Rose of a year ago or even in Tough Enough, she is so much better. I think the hard part with Mandy, though, is when you put her beside a grizzled vet like Asuka, where Asuka is clean, she's accurate, she knows how to go, or Mandy, she's getting better at selling, but she's a little slow in the ring, and I think that's tough. So I think it's just a balance of opposites, and, you know, really, you know, tenure and experience going against Mandy in this one, but no, I don't know. And I think the big question now is, we're three and a half weeks away to WrestleMania. Who's Asuka going to face for the championship at WrestleMania? You know, I hope it's not Mandy Rose again. I hope it's not Sonya. But I don't know. Where are we going to go? You know, that's kind of where I hoped Charlotte would fall out of that triple threat match with Becky and Ronda. I thought at one point we predicted that, that Becky was going to cost Ronda her Raw Women's Championship. And then the whole point of Charlotte being there was for the title. And then Charlotte would have just followed wherever the title went and faced whomever, but obviously we didn't get there, so. But no, was an okay match, I guess. Wasn't really, it was more of a pee break for me. All right, so next up here we have, so this one was actually a very interesting segment. So another SmackDown match, so now we're at four SmackDown matches in a row to kick off Fastlane. But this one, Kofi in the New Day, we're in the back. You know, looks like that a little delivery guy, whether it's a producer or someone, goes to Kofi saying, hey, the McMahons want you in their office. They want to see you. You know, the new, and then I believe they actually said, in regards to the WWE Championship. And then, you know, then they're like, oh my God, yeah, go. Then it kind of cuts to a segment later on to go, like, man, we've been waiting for an hour. What's going on? Like, hey. You know, then all of a sudden, like, Biggie's like, no, let's go in. So they go in, they barge in. Vince is like, man, I've been waiting for an hour. And then Vince's like, I've been waiting for an hour. So it's kind of funny in that sense. But no, once again, the New Day with Biggie and Xavier, really push a passionate promo, you know, standing up for Kofi, saying, like, man, he deserves it. Like, no one does what he does. No one, he doesn't complain. And, you know, and Kofi even was like, man, I don't complain. Like, yes, I've missed so many opportunities, but I don't complain. I show up. I do my job. I do my part, you know, and then Vince agrees. And then, you know, the match is on now, you know, it's going to be a triple threat match tonight. And then he says, your match is on now. But the funny thing that Vince did was he never said that you are in the triple threat match. He just said, it's now a triple threat. And then saying, Kofi, your match is now. Kofi goes to the ring, you know, and now we're like, oh my God, big pop. Everyone's excited. Like, holy crap. You know, Kofi's in a triple threat match. Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan, and Kofi Kingston. Like, this is crazy. Then I was excited. I was like, oh my God, like, this is good. This match is going to tear the house down. Like, is Kofi getting a spot? Then I was a little disappointed to kind of think, but then we don't maybe get Kofi at Mania. You know, I kind of want Kofi at Mania if I had my choice. Then the producer talks to the ring announcer, and obviously, ladies and gentlemen, this is now a 2-on-1 handicap match. Ladies and gentlemen, Kofi Kingston's opponent, The Bar. Sheamus and Cesaro come out and tear down Kofi. The Bar walks away victorious, of course. You know, Sheamus and Cesaro are two of the most toughest, you know, one of the toughest teams in the world. Even after the match, there's a little bit of a beatdown on Kofi. Clearly, it's a message from Vince McMahon. The New Day, you know, Xavier and Big E come down to help Kofi. Then they get attacked by Rusev and Nakamura, who they defeated earlier in the night. So it was a little bit of a weird combination in how that was set, but clearly it was a... I think it was just kind of, it continues the storyline for what we hope is Kofi Kingston going to WrestleMania. And obviously later on when we talk about SmackDown, that kind of transformed a little bit too into what's next for Kofi. Like what hill does he need to climb to get to WrestleMania? Let's see here. So then actually up next was, and I missed it the first time, but this was the second time that Elias came out. A little bit of a segment. Now, I don't know if it was by accident. I don't know if maybe my network was cutting out, but Elias was trying to do something in the ring, and it cut to commercial for the second time. So I didn't really get it. And obviously, we see Elias a little bit more later on that night, and it turned into something a little more. A little bit more boring, but then a lot more exciting later. Then, of course, they try to get an interview with Shane to talk about what happened. Walks away, doesn't say a word, goes back into the McMahon office. Let's get a little sip of water here. How am I doing so far, guys? Solo podcast. I feel like I'm rambling a little bit, but I guess I'm used to having those breaks, talking back and forth, but I know that I'll be better. I'll be listening to this afterwards, and I'll make sure I learn from this. And actually, one thing I'm learning along the way is I took a lot of notes on Fastlane. I'm trying to walk around my basement and kind of go by memory, which I feel I do that a lot better, is kind of go based off how I feel and what I know. When I kind of look at notes, I find I'm a little bit more, like I stutter a little bit more because I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. So I'm trying to just kind of take a little peek at my notes. But trying not to go right off them. But all right, so next up here, we have the first Raw match of the night. So we're four SmackDown matches in, first Raw match. So the fifth match of the night is Ricochet and Aleister Black versus Bobby Roode and Chad Gable versus The Revival for the Raw Tag Team Championship. I'll tell you, I love this match. This match was great. So much better than what I thought it was going to end up being. I'll tell you... Months ago, when Gable and Roode got together as a tag team, I did not know what I thought about it. And if anything, I thought, wow, it's that time, eh? You don't know what to do with these guys, so you're just packaging them as a team. But I'll tell you, they're a great team. Like they're ring gear matching. Gable, to me, looked like... I love Chad Gable. He looked like $1 million that night. It's a very clean match, very action-packed. Not overly flippy, which was nice, especially when you have very flippy people like Ricochet and Aleister Black. But obviously the Revival wins. What I love about that Revival win, though, was that it was a clean win. It wasn't a happenstance, you know, like it wasn't an interference. It wasn't a screw job. You know, it was a clean win, which I feel the Revival needed, especially against, you know, two teams that are very strong, like Roode and Gable and Ricochet and Black. So that was really nice. Obviously, the action continues after the match, where everyone continues to brawl, which seemingly it was a way to just put Ricochet and Black back on top. For the last several weeks since they've been called up, I don't think they, you know, Ricochet and Aleister Black has ever looked in a negative light. They've always looked strong and on top, so... But it is good to see Revival get a clean win to show their strength and show that they are the tag team champions for a reason. All right, next up, we have another SmackDown match, the sixth match of the night. So we are five SmackDown matches in out of seven and one Raw match. So very SmackDown heavy so far. This one is we have the United States Championship match with the R-Truth. I'm not just going to call him Andrade. I'm going to say Andrade Cien Almas. Come on, WWE. We know how to say his name. Versus Rey Mysterio versus the champ, Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe retains... clean. I like this clean theme going on tonight, with, you know, because a lot of the times it's an interference, it's, you know, finding a way to win, you know, it's maybe cheating a little bit, you know, or a schoolboy roll up. But this one, you know, watching another, you know, strong champion, you know, we had the Revivals with one and Samoa Joe with another, a nice clean win. I'll tell you, this match was so much better than I actually thought it was going to be. I wasn't so invested in this match. Four very different individuals that kind of got thrown together, you know, very quick over the last, you know, week or two before Fastlane. But I'll tell you, Truth looked good. You know, I did appreciate R-Truth paying homage to his hero growing up, as he says, John Cena. You saw some big shoulder dives, some slams, a five-knuckle shuffle. That was really cool. Kind of playing off the John Cena. You know, there was also a really dangerous move done as well. That part where Rey flips Almas off the top rope on off of Truth's shoulders. You know, Andrade was on Truth's shoulders and Rey jumps off the top and does a flip, a Hurricane Rana flip, and it was crazy. I thought that was going to go so wrong. It didn't, which was nice, but no, just a good fatal four-way match. You know, very action-packed, and no one looked weak in this match. If anything, I believe everyone walked away looking a lot stronger, even though, you know, the champ retained. So, all right, up next here, we have the WWE Hall of Famer Beth Phoenix joining the announce table for the first ever, I shouldn't say first ever, but the first ever WWE Women's Tag Team Championship title defense, Boston Hug Connection against Nia and Tamina. Decent little match. I'll say it wasn't so bad. The Boston Hug Connection wins with Bayley getting a little roll up, holding back the leg of Nia Jax for the win. But it was good. But one thing that I loved about this match was the use of being a tag team. You know, the use of teamwork, the use of tagging in and out. Sasha and Bayley, they definitely took a book out of the Revival. A chapter out of the Revival's book where, you know, a lot of quick tags, in, out, let the freshest person be in there. And that was really cool to see because they worked as a team. You know, so definitely good use of the tag function. But obviously afterwards, we saw, you know, a little bit of attack by Nia and Tamina. And then Beth Phoenix looks like she was either trying to just leave, like, hey, my announcing duties are done, I'm getting out of here now, and kind of gets into Tamina's face, and I'm sitting there going, whoa, what's going to happen here? Like, it's just, you know, are we going to see something? And then Beth Phoenix decks Tamina, which was awesome, and then she gets attacked and leveled. And I'll tell you, Beth took a big bump face down onto that on the outside. I was quite impressed by that bump, and it sold really, really well. From there, Natalia ran down to help her friend, her best friend. Unfortunately, it was a good attempt, but didn't really work out so well because Natalia came in to help, but then she got flattened out and leveled herself. So looks like what's going to, like, I don't know. Like, what do you guys think? What was the point of that? And I'll tell you, for the first title defense for the Women's Tag Team Championship, it was a nice little kickoff. But are we going to get a Tamina and Nia Jax versus Natalya and Beth Phoenix at WrestleMania? I don't know. Like, it's, who knows what's going to happen there? But I think the big question now is, who is the Boston Hug Connection going to face at WrestleMania to defend their Women's Tag Team Championship? One thing as well, actually, that I noticed, actually only I noticed on Fastlane, was the use of ring entrances for the Boston Hug Connection, where I almost feel that each of them coming out, so Bayley's, you know, ring music hits, you know, she comes out, does her thing, Sasha's, you know, boss music comes out, she does her thing, and then they walk down together. I feel if you want to be a little bit more of a legitimate tag team, you need to have both of them come out to one theme, whether it's Bayley's, whether it's Sasha's, or maybe an opportunity to create a new theme song, but, or do like we've seen before, maybe they do a little mash where they put both of them together. I don't know how that would sound, but I think, it's a little details like that I think go a long way, because when I see them both come out individually, it makes me seem like they're not a team. They're a team, they're a tag team, but they're not a team because they're coming out solo. They need to be, you know, they need to come out to their own music. That's how they are, you know. So I'd like to see that change up a little bit moving forward. Maybe a WrestleMania release. Who knows? All right, here. So next up. So this is a good one. So another SmackDown match. We had the WWE Championship match on SmackDown with Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens. Now, early on in the night, we saw Vince McMahon talk about, you know, it's going to be a triple threat now. Didn't end up being Kofi, but Vince wasn't lying. It is a triple threat. shoot, you know, everyone's kind of going, whoa, whoa, well, we thought Kofi was going to be here, but Kofi's not here, so who's the third man? It ends up being the returning Mustafa Ali. Now, I'll tell you, at the beginning, I wasn't so keen about it, where... And not because I don't love Mustafa Ali, I do. I think the hard part is, now, for anyone who kind of remembers their wrestling, remember a long time ago, or not a long time ago, but, you know, several years ago when Roman and, you know, I believe it was the Roman Reigns' first Royal Rumble win, but Daniel Bryant was in that Royal Rumble, and he got eliminated. Everyone loved Roman. Everyone wanted Daniel Bryant to win. But then when Daniel gets eliminated early and Roman wins, you know, the fans were immediately against Roman because they're like, boo, we wanted Daniel. I just hope that this doesn't happen to Mustafa Ali where, whoa, Mustafa, like, hey, we love you. Like, you've been great. You were gone for a hot minute, but we want Kofi, you know, so I hope that Mustafa doesn't take the heat on people wanting Kofi instead. But overall, the match was great. You know, it was a great build for a short period of time. You know, even though it was only a couple of weeks, you know, Kevin Owens did a really good job at building a little feud with Daniel Bryan, with essentially saying, listen, I know I wasn't supposed to be here, but I'm here. You know, like, Vince chose me, and I know why he chose me, because I can do it, and I deserve it. You know, so definitely a good job instead of just announcing Kevin Owens, and then Kevin Owens shows up and they wrestle. But no, I'd say it was a really, really good match. You know, Kevin Owens looked absolutely amazing. You know, he looked a lot slimmer. And I know it's not about how slim or how fat you are or how much of a belly you have, but I'll tell you, clearly it looks like Kevin Owens was eating cleaner and or working out a lot more because his belly is a lot smaller. He's moving around that ring like $1 million. He's got the new tattoos, the beard, the hair, everything was going for him. And he looked crisp and clean in the ring. It was so good to see Kevin Owens back. And you can tell, too, that he's happy to be back, too, which was super, super cool. Also, on this match, the ring apron was a big spot. You know, we saw a lot of spots on that ring apron on Fastlane. You know, very fast-paced match, very hard-hitting. You know, but we saw that Spanish fly. That was absolutely nuts. You know, the apron spot with Daniel Bryant reversing the powerbomb to the ring apron. Then, obviously, we saw Daniel Bryant kneeing the pole. We saw the 450 onto the apron from Mustafa Ali. You know, then, of course, we saw Owens fly outside and hit Rowan. And I was crapping myself because at a quick moment I thought Kevin Owens was going to smash like his nose and his forehead on the tables on the outside. And if you watch it again, he was very close, but he fell in between the two announce tables. So I was so happy that he didn't injure himself, but it looked so close because he put a lot of momentum and speed when he jumped. You know, obviously Rowan takes out Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens powerbombs Ali to the ring apron. Daniel Bryant kneed the air from Ali, which was a nice move and a nice finish, very impactful. And of course, Daniel Bryant retains the WWE Championship. But one thing that this showed is two things. Kevin Owens is back, and Mustafa Ali can hang with the big guys, you know, can hang with the big talent. Because I'll tell you, you know, it didn't look like Mustafa Ali had a lack of tenure. He looked amazing in that match, and he looked like he can go par to par with the big guys like Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens. So that was really awesome. All right, so now we have the co-main event, another SmackDown match with Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. Stipulation is simple. Becky wins, she goes to Mania, and joins and turns into a triple threat. This one, I really don't have too much to comment on because it wasn't so much of a match. The point of this match wasn't the match. The point of this match was the outcome. And of course, you know, Becky overcoming the knee injury and, you know, Charlotte kind of trying to find ways to beat her down and Becky trying to get offense in. Ronda hits the ring, hits Becky purposely. Becky wins by disqualification. That simply was to show, not only to get Becky into the Mania match, but it showed Ronda was utilizing any power she had. You know, the McMahons and Stephanie were trying to take away what power Ronda had in regards to making a decision on who she faces. This was the one thing that Ronda could control, was getting Becky into that match. So it was quite a bold statement, and I'll tell you, we've seen Becky and Charlotte, you know, go against each other many, many times, you know, and I'm sure they would have torn the house down if they did it again that night. But, you know, I found it a fun segment, and I saw some people giving it a lot of heat, like, oh, boo, and what a stupid match. And but you guys, you can't look at it that way. You got to look at it purely as it's not the match wasn't about the match. The match was purely about the outcome. So definitely happy. I would much rather see Ronda and Becky one-on-one, main eventing. But hey, it is what it is, and just happy to see Becky there. Of course, here we see, like I was talking about earlier, Elias comes out for the third time. You know, seems to be singing about the pay-per-view, but then all of a sudden, once again, like we've seen every week, Lacey Evans comes out, and she walks, she waves, she turns around. I don't know how much longer they're going to do that. They talk about how strong Lacey Evans is, but you can't, like, it's been a long period of time since we've seen her wrestle, or at least on the main roster that she's supposedly on. So that one's starting to get a little old, but it turned from a really weird segment where Lacey Evans comes out, waves, walks, turns around. Even Elias is standing there kind of shaking his head going, what the heck is going on? But then all of a sudden it went from lame to super, super exciting, where an RKO out of nowhere, quickly he just swipes on the right side, jumps up and RKOs Elias to kind of say, like, shut up, get out of here, let's carry on with the pay-per-view. But then all of a sudden, and AJ Styles comes out, and boom, phenomenal forearm, knocks Randy down. So it went from boring to crazy, you know, which obviously we knew what happened the next two days after on SmackDown, where these two are going to face each other at WrestleMania. So that was a really, really cool little segment they had there. All right. And also, sorry, guys, just one thing, too, is my voice was a little hoarse and a little sore coming into today, and I don't think I'm getting sick. I think it's just been a long week, but I really hope I'm not getting sick. But I apologize if I sound a little hoarse today. But all right, now Fastlane main event, The Shield reunion, 50th time, but it's deemed the last time, and I'll tell you, they're very crafty. If this is the last time, as they say. But if it is, who knows? I'm going to say maybe not, but I'll tell you, The Shield versus Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre. I had weird expectations for this match, but I was blown away. This was a great match. I don't even want to call this a match. This was a fight. That's what this was. This was an absolute fight. You know, we saw The Shield come down in Shield style, coming down from the crowd. You know, the announcers kind of talking about this is Roman's first match in 6 months, making another mention on how, you know, Dean is leaving WWE very soon, which I still don't know. I really don't know. I think for me, the hard part is that in the history of wrestling, and if there, guys, if I'm missing someone, please let me know. I know CM Punk did it, but I felt that was more storyline driven, even though Punk does say that he signed his contract like the night of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. But I don't know if anyone's ever said, like, hey, listen, I don't want to be here anymore, and they let him stick around, or at the very, even so, I don't want to be here anymore and I'm not re-signing. And they make it very public. Like, they posted it on social media, they put it on the website, they talk about it all the time. He's choosing not to resign. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, that just makes me believe that maybe he's not leaving and maybe something's going to come up at the last minute. But I guess time will tell. But no, back to the match. Good match. It's a good story. It's a good back and forth. Once again, a really good use of tags when it came to Corbin, Lashley, and Drew. You know, the heels utilizing the fresh man in and out. And Roman looked like $1 million. He looked really, really good. Not only did he look good, but he looked really happy to be back into that ring. You know, we saw some really crazy spots go into the crowd. Where Seth and Dean and Bobby and Drew were, I believe it was the, the pre-show table, the little glass pre-show table. they were fighting there and they were brawling in the crowd, and it left Corbin and Roman to go back and forth in the ring. I found that a really, really cool, neat spot. But then obviously, you know, some really close calls where, you know, at one point you thought Roman was going to get pinned, Dean and Seth saved the day. And then at one point you thought that, you know, Baron, Lashley and Drew were going to do the Shield powerbomb onto Roman, Seth and Dean for the save once again. So a lot of close calls, you know. But no, I think at the end it was exactly what it should have been. The Shield winning after, you know, Roman being away for so long, all of the drama within the Shield with Seth and Dean and Roman. Obviously, they get the momentum up. Then Drew McIntyre is the one that took the Shield powerbomb through the table. Crowd asks for one more. Shield swarm the ring, get a big old "This is awesome" chant. One thing that I loved and I thought it was crazy was clearly they had a little bit of a time delay, but Seth going into the ring and kind of then yelling out, it was like, "One more time, Cleveland, one more mother effing time." Like, and you drop the F-bomb and clearly they caught it and they were able to censor it. But I thought that was so funny because clearly he was hyped up and happy that the Shield were reuniting. Shield with another triple powerbomb into Corbin, Roman with the pin. Classic Shield, great match. Roman hasn't lost a step. Dean looked really, really good. Seth looked really, really good. And I'll tell you, a lot of people give the Shield a lot of heat, a lot of crap. You know, it's you either love the Shield or you hate the Shield. There's no really in between. But whenever they're together, they put on phenomenal matches. They work so well together. I'll tell you, I know a lot of people didn't seem to catch the segment when, you know, the Shield kind of reunited the other week, when people are kind of like, "Well, you're going to ignore everything that Dean and Seth did." But if you really watch again and you're really close, even Seth said at one point, like, "Brothers fight. Like, it's not the first time we fought. It's not going to be the last time we fought." And I would challenge you to look at this scenario. Go look at the Being of the Elite guys. You know, go look at the Bucks, Kenny Omega, Cody, you know, Hangman Page, Marty Scurll. You know, look at these guys. These guys are brothers. These guys are a team. These guys are family. But they fight sometimes. You know, we've seen Kenny going against the Bucks, but then they're still best friends before and after. It absolutely happens. And I think brothers can fight. And I think this is what you need to sum this up to. But no, overall, Fastlane, solid pay-per-view. A little bit of a slow start, but I thought overall there were some really good matches. Maybe not the biggest build to WrestleMania like I kind of hoped for, and I think most other people hope for. But overall, when you look at a pay-per-view and the caliber of matches and the overall performance of a pay-per-view, I definitely give it a big old thumbs up. So I'm actually also, remember guys, I'd love to hear what you guys think about these pay-per-views, these shows, or even if you have questions for us. You know, always remember we're on social media at 613 Wrestling on Instagram, 613 Wrestling on Twitter. We also have a YouTube page that we're going to try to put more and more up on. And actually, I got a video that I need to do again because it didn't record properly, but which is kind of good because I have more stuff to do. But I'm going to start doing a little bit of unboxing. My birthday just went by on March 5th, and I got some really cool stuff from my fiance. She got me the WWE official retro ring. And she also got me a couple of elite figures, 4 to 5 elite figures to add to my collection. So I'd love to do a little unboxing, let you know what I like about it. Maybe put the ring together. I don't know. Just fun little stuff like that. I find that stuff cool. So that's one thing on this podcast that I want to do. And I know Kyle wants to do as well, is we're not just going to do things to do things. We want to do things that we like, that we hope you guys like. So, all right, so outside of Fastlane, guys, overall, just kind of want to go through a really quick little rundown of Raw and SmackDown this past week. Just some quick little notes of what we saw and some thoughts to the road to WrestleMania. Of course, Raw, some quick notes. So we obviously saw the show open with the little Shield One More Hurrah. Came to the ring, said a few words, popped the fist out. The Shield had a very interesting night. And obviously, Roman getting attacked by Drew. Roman getting his head kind of concussed a little bit, especially with that Claymore kick onto the side rail. That looked really, really scary. But obviously, you know, it was cool to see, you know, obviously talking about, like we were just talking about with Dean, you know, and Dean kind of, you know, ostracizing himself from the rest of the Shield and, you know, his brothers. And now that he's back, you know, help when him and Seth helped Roman to the medical staff in the back, you saw Dean kind of being like, no, like I got to get revenge. I will not stand for this. He saw Triple H. I want McIntyre tonight. Like, and I want him tonight. Give him to me tonight. And Triple H is already in the mood. You know, we've already saw Triple H. We know it's now going to be Triple H and Dave Bautista in a no-holds-barred match at WrestleMania. And then Triple H just looks at him and goes, good, you want him? You got him. No-holds-barred, no disqualification, go. And then it was like, boom, crowd pop, crazy match. Dean, you know, Dean and McIntyre beat the crazies out of each other. That's all I can say about that. Obviously, McIntyre with the win. McIntyre is looking so strong. And one thing that I like about McIntyre, as a side note, is they're not just pushing McIntyre to this unbelievable status. You know what I mean? They're slow building him, which I think is so smart. Later on, deeper into 2019, like maybe once when Brock is away and all that stuff, you know, or and if Ronda is taking the time off, you know, there's going to be some spotlight available. And I definitely think Drew can step into that to be a title contender. But no, what else did we see here? So obviously, yeah, we know the Triple H and Dave Bautista segment was actually pretty cool. I really like that. And, you know, I think a lot of New Day fans, and I mean like modern day fans, they don't know Bautista that well. I'll tell you, if you're a fan of wrestling, go and watch old Dave Bautista matches. They're great. Especially, too, it's kind of apropos where Bautista won his first heavyweight championship against Triple H at WrestleMania. They have heat. They have history. And especially, too, if you've been watching Dave outside of wrestling, in interviews and everything else, they always say, if you can go back one more time, what would you want to do? And Dave has always said, I want Triple H at WrestleMania. If I had one more goodbye match, one last match, that's what I would want it to be. So when he was in the ring saying, give me what I want, it's all of the years of him wanting this. So it was really cool to see that connection. And then obviously Triple H giving him what he wants. Let's see here. Oh, obviously we had Kurt Angle come out and facing Apollo Crew, beating Apollo Crew as well. And then, of course, Kurt Angle announcing that at WrestleMania, he's going to have his final match, his retirement match. Who the opponent's going to be, I do not know. You know, kind of thinking about it myself is, who could it be? And I think I've decided on two scenarios. There's what I think is going to happen and what I hope is going to happen. What I think is going to happen is that it's going to be John Cena. You know, John Cena's first match on the main roster was against Angle, and Angle won. I thought it would be pretty cool to see John Cena beat Kurt Angle on his retirement match. Usually, and when I say beat, because usually when you go out on your Shield in your retirement match, usually you put the other person over. But if that is the case, what I want to happen is I hope a younger talent has that opportunity. I know Kurt hasn't been on the crazy winning streak lately, but I think it would be really, you know, really monumental for an up-and-coming talent, a current superstar, to beat Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. I think that would be a really good feather in their cap and can do a lot for that person. So, obviously, as well, a really cool segment. Obviously, some really good back and forth with Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins, but then Shelton Benjamin attacking Seth Rollins turns into a match. But I love the mixture there, because if you don't know, Shelton Benjamin and Brock Lesnar have a lot of history together. You know, college wrestling, you know, Shelton helping Brock train. So much history. So I thought, you know, is Shelton Benjamin a new Paul Heyman guy? I don't know. I think that would be really cool. You know, Shelton Benjamin is one of the best athletes in WWE's history. You know, he's not... You know, since coming back, I think the other year, he hasn't been in like the biggest spotlight, but he's a great, 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 great talent. And so to see a new Paul Heyman guy, I know we've seen them in before. I think the last time it's been years since we've seen a Paul Heyman guy with Punk, Ryback, Curtis Axel, Cesaro. But Not only has it been a long time since we've seen a new Paul Heyman guy, but this one makes more sense because there's an actual connection to Brock Lesnar. Plus, I think that Heyman can do a lot for Shelton Benjamin, so I think that'd be really cool. Lastly, of course, it was broken, the news, Monday morning, that we have the newest inductee to the WWE Hall of Fame, which is Harlem Heat. What do you think about that, guys? I don't know how I think about that. I just like my take on D-Generation X, it is what it is. Regardless of whether we like it or we don't like it, they're going in. So we just got to embrace that for what it is. Sorry, guys, my voice is getting a little sore as I keep talking for the last 50 minutes. But no, you know, it's kind of crazy to think that Booker T is a two-time Hall of Fame ring holder and Hall of Famer. But I guess the big question is that, you know, is Harlem Heat Hall of Fame worthy? I don't know. You know, they never wrestled in WWE, but I know that's not the point. WWE honors wrestling in general, which is really cool. In the 90s, Harlem Heat was, I think they were like a 12, 13-time WCW Tag Team Champion. But I don't know. It's like Stevie Ray hasn't been around a long time, and I just don't know how I think about it. Either way, congratulations to Harlem Heat for being inducted and going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And I'm sure you're going to constantly hear Booker T refer to himself as the two-time WWE Hall of Famer. So that's it for Raw. Well, those are my overall highlights of Raw. There was lots more that happened. But quick notes on SmackDown. Obviously, we saw the continuation of Kofi Kingston. His New Day brothers having his back. Kofi's got one more chance next week. He's going to run the gauntlet. He's run the gauntlet before and he almost won. He's going to run the gauntlet again, and if he does, he gets his shot at WrestleMania. So my hope is, I think after all of this, I think it would be really weird if he didn't win. And even if he didn't win, I hope he still finds his way there. My thoughts are potentially, and I don't want to turn this, I know I've been commenting on it a lot throughout the night, but I don't want to turn this into like this big WrestleMania prediction. But what I think is going to happen is, I almost feel, what I want is Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston in a one-on-one match. What I feel what might happen is Kevin Owens finds his way in there, which I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not mad at it. I love Kevin Owens, and I love seeing him in a championship, you know, caliber match. But I think we want to see Daniel and Kofi. I think they would tear the house down, and they would be the match of the night. So we'll see next week. Of course, we saw Randy Orton and AJ Styles being, you know, like verbally going back and forth, which is really cool. You know, Orton kind of talking about how it was his house. AJ talking about how Randy Orton, you know, didn't have to go through what AJ did in the Independence and how he wouldn't be able to survive, you know, doing things like this and kind of like throwing up the arms like Randy Orton does. So now that's an official match. Like we said earlier, The Miz and Shane, that's a Mania match. Usos, little segment. I know we talked about earlier about so many undefined matches, and even the Usos are saying, who are we going to face at Mania? Who do you think? They don't even know, so hopefully we find that out soon too. A cool little match between, once again, these guys are on Raw and SmackDown every week for the last several weeks, Aleister Black and Ricochet and the Hardys taking on The Bar and Rusev and Nakamura. I think that's a nice little way to just continue to get, I think that's your mix for the Usos. I know there's not a whole lot, but I think what we're seeing is who's going to, you know, is it going to be the Hardy Boys that get the shot? And by the looks of it, they're on a winning streak. I think the Usos are going to take on Aleister Black and Ricochet. They're winning. They beat the Raw Tag Team Champions. They're winning every week. Why would it not be them? So I think it'll be very interesting to see how that unfolds. Then, of course, we also saw Kevin Owens and Mustafa Ali versus Daniel Bryan and Rowan. Mustafa Ali, where does he fit in all this? You know, it was a good match. Good to see him back. Great showing at Fastlane. But, you know, I guess the question is, Mustafa Ali, where's his spot at WrestleMania? You know, you see Mustafa Ali over the last couple of months, you know, being able to go toe-to-toe with the champions. But where does he go from here? Because there's so much top talent in SmackDown. Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens is back, you know, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, the list goes on and on. Now Kofi. So But no, that's really it, you know, wrapping down the SmackDown talk. And I think that's it for me tonight, guys. My throat's getting a little sore. I'm going to go drink a little tea and then get ready for bed. But I want to thank you, honestly. This has been interesting. I really enjoyed tonight. I've never, you know, we're 54 minutes and 40 seconds in, and I've never done a solo podcast, like I said. So I hope you found it interesting. My thoughts, my take, my opinion. I'd love for you to hit me up on social media at 613 Wrestling on Twitter, 613 Wrestling on Instagram, and also check out our YouTube channel. Or you can also hit me up on Twitter as well. You know, personally, Mark Cote 1209 at Twitter. But no, I think I've never had so many unanswered questions about wrestling. And I think that that baffles me. But at the same time, I don't hate it, because I like the unknown, and we're definitely in an unknown territory right now, you know. And I can really talk about, there's so many things we didn't talk about tonight that we'll talk about next week as well, you know, like where's the Bullet Club, or where's the Club with Gallows and Anderson, you know, where do so many people fit in with everything? Where does Braun Strowman go? Seemingly, if I see Braun Strowman against the Saturday Night Live guy at WrestleMania, I'm gonna lose my hat, you know. It's so, there's so many different things and different angles, and I think sometimes that might be the problem, is that there's so much top talent, so much great talent, and there's so much wrestling, and that there's so much going on, that it's hard to find time for everyone and everything. So, but once again, I'm not a WWE writer, I'm not a WWE employee, I'm not saying I'd be able to do it any better myself, because I probably definitely can't, so... But no, thanks so much, guys. I hope you're having a great night tonight. I hope you have a great weekend coming up. If you have any questions for us on the show or any topics you would like us to go over specifically, please let us know. I really would like to do different things like watch-alongs or, you know, I know we kind of have a pretty steady, you know, segments here. We kind of talk about what's now in wrestling, but I would really like to do other things like, you know, let's talk about an era, let's talk about a promotion, let's talk about maybe a specific wrestler or two or three. You know, I really enjoyed it, you know, a couple of months ago when we did our Mount Rushmore episode. I thought that was really, really interesting and cool. So I would really love to hear what you guys thought or think, and what you want myself and Kyle to go over. So once again, guys, my name is Mark. Thank you so much for watching 613 Wrestling Podcast, and I hope you have a great night. Take it easy, guys.